Hi, listeners. Stories have so much power, and so does whoever controls the narrative. It is time that we dissect and analyze these stories. I am Vipul, and this is Woke Tales. Hi everyone, today I have two stories for you. The first story is The Princess and the Pea. It was written by Hans Christian Andersen, who published it in 1835. Check out Woke Tales episode 5, Andersen and Edward, which was based on Hans Christian Andersen's life. Unlike The Little Mermaid, which is an original fairy tale by Andersen, The Princess and the Pea was based on traditional folk tales Andersen heard as a child. If you want to listen to The Little Mermaid and its dissection and analysis, check out Woke Tales episode 6. And now, it is time for The Princess and the Pea story. Once there was a prince who wanted to marry a princess, but she would have to be a real princess. He traveled the world searching for a real princess, but was unable to find one. And it seemed like there was something off about all the princesses he did meet. So the prince returned home sad. One night, there was a terrible storm. There was thunder and lightning, and the rain poured down in torrents. Someone knocked on the castle door. The prince's father, the king, went and opened, and it was a princess standing out there in front of the door. But good gracious, what a sight the rain and the wind had made her look. The water ran down her hair and clothes. It ran down into the toes of her shoes and out again at the heels. And yet, she said she was a real princess. The prince's mother, the queen, was suspicious. "Well, we'll soon find that out," thought the old queen. But she said nothing, went into the bedroom, took off all the bedding and laid a pea at the bottom of the bed. Then she took 20 mattresses and laid them on the pea and then 20 feather beds of eiderdown on top of the mattresses. That was where the princess was to sleep for the night. In the morning, she was asked how she had slept. "Oh, horribly," she said. "I hardly closed my eyes all night. Heaven only knows what was in the bed, but I was lying on something hard, so that I'm black and blue all over my body. It was horrible." Now, they could see that she was a real princess, because she had felt the pea right through the 20 mattresses and the 20 feather beds. Nobody but a real princess could be that sensitive. So the prince took her for his wife, because now he knew that he had a real princess. The pea was put on display in a museum, and that's the end of this strange little tale. Whew, wow. Hope y'all like the story. I have quite a few issues with this story, like the misogyny of associating being delicate and sensitive with a princess, and prince just taking her as his wife, but also the princess being a terrible guest. How about saying thank you to the strangers who gave you shelter? Where's your sensitivity now towards your host? This princess culture is kind of ridiculous anyway. What is it implying to the person reading the story that if you want to be considered royalty, you have to be delicate? Would this story be written for a prince being delicate? Obviously not. Because this is an old story full of gender norms, but aren't those norms still present? Or maybe Andersen was poking fun at the curious and ridiculous measures taken by the royals to establish and preserve their bloodlines. So this story was first written down in 1835 by Andersen, who claimed to have heard it in his childhood. But I found an earlier version of this tale in another literature, an Indian precursor to Andersen's tale, a story in which three brothers vie for the title of the most fastidious, called Three Special Brahmins. This story is from Betal Pachisi, which translates into 25 Tales of Betal, originally written in Sanskrit. One of its oldest recensions is found in the 12th book of Kathasarit Sagar, which means Ocean of the Streams of Story, a collection of Indian legends, fairy tales, and folk tales compiled in the 11th century by Somdev, but based on yet older materials. Once upon a time, there lived a rich Brahmin, Vishnuswami, who was performing a huge sacrificial rite. He had three sons who were each very fastidious about three specific things. The oldest was fastidious about food, the second about women, and the third about beds. Vishnuswami wanted a tortoise for his sacrifice, so he sent his three sons to get one. They did find one, but each of them refused to touch it and bring it back home, as each claimed to be as fastidious as the other. A fierce quarrel broke out amongst them, and they approached the king and requested him to decide who among them was the most fastidious. The king decided to test them all. He invited the first one to a very special feast prepared very exquisitely. But the first son refused to touch the food, claiming that he smelled burnt corpses in the rice. On investigation, the king found that the rice was procured from a field near a cremation ground. He then decided to test the second son by sending a beautiful woman. But the second son sent her away, saying that she was smelling like a goat. On investigation, the king found that she had been fed goat milk when she was a child. Finally, to test the third son, the king asked him to sleep on a bed with seven huge mattresses. In the middle of the night, the third son awoke with a lot of pain and a bruise on his shoulder. On verifying, it was found that there was a strand of hair underneath the seven mattresses. So the question is, who among the three is the most fastidious? Well, as you might have already guessed, the answer is the third son. The bruise on his shoulder was definite evidence of his sensitivity, while the other two sons could have obtained information from elsewhere. So even though I pointed out the topic about bloodlines or princesses being sensitive from the Princess and the Pea story, it doesn't explain the male figure in the Indian tale who is neither royal nor female. Perhaps instead, then both stories are intended to be a mockery on those occupying a comfortable position in society, whether royal or aristocratic, and their oversensitivity. This would explain the exaggeration in both about not only the lightness of the object detected, a hair or a pea, but also the number of mattresses, 7 in one case and 20 in another. Extrapolating those royals and aristocrats to today's rich and famous, the class stratification between them and the rest of us has never been glaringly obvious. During the pandemic, the rich were not only socially distancing, but they were also economically distancing themselves from the rest of us. We all know that COVID-19 caused this pandemic, which was at its peak in 2020. And do you know who the real heroes were during that time of crisis? The celebrities, sharing so many great videos telling people to stay home and stay safe, stay positive, saying we are all in this together, and calling the pandemic the great equalizer. Billions of people around the world were and still are being negatively affected by the ongoing pandemic. People lost work, the economy suffered, people died due to lack of proper medical care. But worst of all, celebrities weren't getting enough attention. While the rest of us worried about our next paycheck or whether the trip to the grocery store would kill us, we saw what happens when celebrities don't get their daily dopamine attention hit. Well, I don't want to completely dump on celebrities. I'm sure they were scared too, and were trying to cope as best as they could. Many were just trying to reach out to their fans with messages of hope and perseverance and posting content they think would resonate with us, make us think or cheer us up. But for the most part, their splashiest attempt did not land. However well-intentioned try for human connection, it was so tone-deaf with a blind spot to people frantically searching for basic groceries and hoping they wouldn't lose their jobs. Some did leverage their platform to communicate accurate information. Like Golden State Warrior player Stephen Curry went on Instagram Live to interview Dr. Anthony Fauci, the director of the U.S. National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Disease. At one point during Curry's Instagram livestream with Fauci, former U.S. President Barack Obama signed on to watch the interview. Amidst the consistent stream of fans' questions, remarks, and thumbs-up emojis, Obama left a comment thanking both Curry and Fauci, saying, "Listen to the science." So, we weren't in it together, and I think we never will be, but perhaps the only civic duty of a wealthy person beside leveraging their platform to communicate accurate information is to leverage capital. Money, please! While their donations are necessary, that's not it. Just pay your workers more and pay your taxes. Our government should be held accountable for not only providing and properly allocating funding, but also procuring that by taxing rich people their fair share. whether they like it or not, there's a certain price that comes with being rich and famous. And that price is, in addition to entertainment, people look to them for leadership, for moral guidance, and good information. And I think they must pay it. They did receive backlash for their poor choice of words and ill-informed actions. But y'all remember that in the frightening moments when people were either practicing social distancing or working on the front line, and while some people wondered how they would put food on the table, what were your favorite celebrities doing? Splashing around in milk bath or using their platform to raise awareness and use their money to write checks to make sure healthcare workers could get the masks they needed? And remember, which elected official did what to help? Not really help, actually, which elected official did their job? My final point of contention is how same or a similar story changes perspective based on sex. Men as fastidious and women as delicate. Yes, both the stories have different societal and cultural backdrop and influence, but aren't those perspectives still prevalent today? On that thought, bye for now. Let me know your thoughts on the story and our discussion by emailing me on woketalespodcast@gmail.com or through social media at woketalespodcast on Instagram and woketalespod on Twitter. And please rate, review, and like Woketales Podcast, and don't forget to subscribe so you can easily access our weekly stories. If you have any story recommendations or if you want to come dissect and analyze a story with me, give me a shout out on email or social media. Because whatever you do, keep dissecting and keep analyzing.